And now we come to the book of Deuteronomy, the last of the five books of the Pentateuch. The book of Deuteronomy ends up being a result of obedience. That as a result of the children of Israel now having obeyed God, after having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God is now going to allow them to enter into the promised land as he had promised that he would. But these are not the ones who came out of Egypt originally anyway, as far as those who were over the age of 20. These are the next generation. These are their children. And an important point to remember as we get into the study of the book of Deuteronomy is this. Remember when they came to, as we noted from the book of Numbers last week, when they came to the promised land the first time, 38 years ago, that they refused to go in and do what God instructed them to do, and their reasoning was, at least part of their reasoning, they were afraid for their children. They were afraid their children would be killed if they went in order to take the land as God had told them to do. Well, God makes the point with them that the ones that they feared for, that being their children, the next generation, would be the ones who would inherit the land, and they themselves would not. And so now, in 38 years' time, all of those who were over the age of 20, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, have now died. They have all gone by the way of the grave, and now this is a new generation that will be brought to the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy itself covers approximately 30 to 70 days, closer to 60 to 70 actually, and these are the final days of the life of Moses. Now, how we know that is because in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we note from verse 3 that it is the 40th year, the 11th month, and the first day of the 11th month of this 40th year. When you turn over to the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5 and in verse 19, we read that the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east of Jordan. And so it is 70 days later when they now are beginning to enter into the promised land. And so it is in this period of time that the book of Deuteronomy covers concerning what takes place. And this is also going to include, by the way, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 8, where it states that the children of Israel are going to mourn and to weep for Moses 30 days after his death. And so this is included in what is recorded, as far as the time span anyway, that is covered in the book of Deuteronomy. It's interesting to note how important the book of Deuteronomy is in that the various references that are made either from the book of Deuteronomy to other books or the other books to the book of Deuteronomy. For example, there are at least 259 references in the book of Deuteronomy to the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the first four books of the Bible. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 356 references in the remainder of the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy. And so there are many references back to this particular book. And when we get into the New Testament, there are some 96 references to the book of Deuteronomy from only 17 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And so the book of Deuteronomy played a very important part with references being made to it and its references to other books in the Bible. The theme, if you will, of the book of Deuteronomy is remembrance. Sometimes it's called the book of remembrance because, as we'll notice in a few minutes, that's one of the key terms for the book of Deuteronomy. As far as the author is concerned, Moses is the writer of the book shortly again before they're entering into the promised land. But question arises, as was posed to me last week by Bill Hornfeck, who wrote the last chapter? Because in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we have recorded concerning the death of Moses, the burial of Moses, the mourning of the children of Israel by Moses, or for Moses, and yet who wrote that? Well, as I told Bill, I believe that there are two possibilities to answer that question. First of all, one possibility is Moses wrote it himself. Remember, Moses is writing by inspiration of God. And if Moses wrote it himself, he is just speaking by prophecy concerning what is going to take place. And if we believe in the inspiration of Scripture and we believe that the Bible writers wrote concerning prophecy and prophesied of various things, we would not have a problem, I don't believe, in accepting the idea that Moses could have written about his own death and the memorial that was made or the mourning that was made for him after he died. Another possibility, though, is that someone else besides Moses wrote the last chapter. And very likely it would have been Joshua, the next leader of the children of Israel, as he's going to write the book of Joshua anyway. It would not be inappropriate for him to close out the book of Deuteronomy, close out the law of Moses in writing those final verses as it related to the life of Moses and then to the children of Israel carrying on. Joshua was inspired of God as well, and Joshua would have spoken correctly, written correctly, concerning those things that were recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 34. So either way, it is inspired. Either way, we can account for how it came into being without there being any problems, or major problems anyway, if we're willing to accept what the Bible says. But I do believe it's important, as I note there in the outline, that we remember that the book of Deuteronomy in many places claims Moses is the writer of the book. Over and over again, God is going to instruct Moses to write these things in a book. And it states that Moses did write them in a book. And so we should not have a problem with Moses being the writer. Now, I make mention of that because there are those in the religious world today who will try to say Moses did not write the book of Deuteronomy, that it was rather written sometime later during the periods of the kings. And it was written in order to exalt the kings rather than holding on to the period of the judges. Well, that just simply cannot be the case. It emphasizes over and over again that Moses is the one that is speaking. Moses is the one who is writing. And then, not only from the book itself, but when we come to the New Testament writers emphasize the very same thing, that Moses is the writer when they appeal to the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus, on at least two occasions, but there are many more than that, I list two anyway, John chapter 7, verse 19, and John chapter 5, verses 45 through 47, is going to speak concerning the fact that Moses is the writer of the law. He just states that as a fact. And then when you turn to like Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 24, this is where the Sadducees come to Jesus and they attempt to reason with him that there is no life after death, because what about this woman who was married to seven brothers? If there was life after death, whose wife would she be in the judgment? And the point being, when they are making this argument, they speak concerning the fact that Moses said this. And they're speaking concerning the levirate marriage, as is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and in verse 5. And they acknowledge that Moses said this, and Jesus did not rebuke them, saying Moses didn't write that book. No, absolutely not. Jesus knew that Moses did write it, and therefore allows their true statement to stand. Now, they misunderstood what was recorded concerning it and the implications of it, but Jesus did not rebuke them for saying that Moses wrote it. Well, when you turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, there Peter is going to speak concerning the fact that Moses said and Moses wrote concerning a prophet that would come after him. And of course, we know that that prophet is referring to Jesus being one like unto Moses, as is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and in verse 15. And again in the book of Acts in chapter 7 and in verse 37, the same thing is going to be recorded, that Jesus would be a prophet after Moses, and a reference is made back to the fact that Moses was the one who wrote these things. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 19, there Paul, by inspiration, is going to refer a couple different times to things that Moses wrote. And these are things that come from Deuteronomy chapter 32. And so there should be no doubt in our minds as to who the writer of the book of Deuteronomy is. It is stated in the book who the writer is, and it is confirmed by New Testament writers and even the Lord himself that Moses is in fact the writer of the book of Deuteronomy. Well, what is the purpose of the book? The purpose of the book of Deuteronomy is basically to call the younger generation to remember all which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. To call them to remembrance as to why they are now here and what happened which brought them to this point 40 years previously. It is also for the purpose of leading them to obedience and to warn them about disobedience. And we've noted in virtually every one of the books so far in the Old Testament that God emphasizes the importance of obedience and emphasizes the consequences of disobedience. And certainly it is brought out in the book of Deuteronomy as clear as anywhere it could be brought out, that this is the case. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 32, and chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Here God calls upon the children of Israel to be obedient to this way of life and of blessing, and reminding them that disobedience would lead to a life or a way of curse and of death, and therefore encouraging them to obey. The background concerning the book of Deuteronomy, the name itself, Deuteronomy, different ideas concerning the name. Many take it as a second law as being what the name means. And yet that's a misnomer, because the name as we have it of Deuteronomy actually comes from the Greek Septuagint version, as we've noted for every one of the books of the Old Testament so far, and yet it comes from a mistranslation from the book of Deuteronomy, from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, where in years gone by it was translated as "he shall write for himself this repetition of the law," a second giving of the law, as it were, or a second law was implied there. But later translations, including the King James Version, translated as "he shall write him a copy of this law," referring to the law of God, the law of Moses. And so it is, as many state, a second giving of the law, and yet that implies that it is simply stating the old law or the law of Moses over again, and that's all there is. And that just simply is not the case, as we'll point out as we go through our outline concerning Deuteronomy. In the Hebrew, the book is known as Elah Hadabharim, which translated means "these are the words," the opening words to the book of Deuteronomy. And we noted that in the Jewish Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, virtually the names from the books are given from the opening phrase or the opening lines of the book themselves, the books themselves, and therefore are not necessarily known by the names that we know them as. But it is such that the modern translation of the Hebrew Scriptures has shortened that down to just being Dabhorim, and that simply meaning words or discourses, as the name for the book of Deuteronomy. The Israelites have now completed their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, their punishment for their initial disobedience when they came to the promised land 38 years before. And Moses is now going to rehearse with them the law of God, because this is the younger generation. He is going to rehearse many portions of the law of God, though not in its entirety, before they enter into the promised land. And as we stated, Deuteronomy is not just a restating of the law, because it is rather an application of the law in view of the conditions that the children of Israel are going to face when they actually enter into the promised land. And so it has been described as being a divine treatise on obedience, to encourage them and to remind them that obedience is what God expects and obedience is what God wants from his children. But it's also going to be an exposition of that great, in fact, the greatest, our Lord said, commandment that was ever given, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And so it's going to be an exposition of just exactly what that means as you study the book of Deuteronomy. By the way, that particular verse is part of what the Jews call the Shema. The Shema is a designation that is given for Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And it comes from the opening words of those verses, which is Shema Israel. And it simply was a declaration of a basic principle of the Jewish religion, proclaiming absolute unity to God. And so that one portion of the book of Deuteronomy is held in very high esteem by Jews and has been held in high esteem by the Jews throughout the centuries. But now for an example to show that the book of Deuteronomy is not just a restating of the law of Moses. When you look at Deuteronomy chapters 22 through 26, you're going to notice there are several things recorded in these chapters that you do not find in other places of the law of Moses, or they are different from what is recorded in the law of Moses as far as there's more explanation that is given, or they are treated in a different way. And so, for example, you have the procedure for getting rid of the false prophets and the idolatrous cities that are going to be in the land that is described in Deuteronomy. Chapters 22 through 26. You have concerning the making of a battlement around the roof of their residence, around the roof of their homes, that is described in the book of Deuteronomy. You also have concerning the settling of issues related to murder, that it's uncertain as to who it was. And things peculiar to that are described in the book of Deuteronomy. You also have concerning the fact that in the book of Deuteronomy, it states that they are to take down the hanged malefactors in the evening, not allowing them to be on their trees where they were hung overnight. And of course, that is going to be used in taking Jesus down from the cross and those who were crucified before the nighttime came, appealing back to the book of Deuteronomy. Here also in the book of Deuteronomy is concerning the punishment of children who were rebellious and gluttonous, who refused to abide by their parents' words and wisdom and decisions, is stated in Deuteronomy chapters 22 through 26. Then there is concerning the there was to be a distinction made between the apparel of men and the apparel of women, as recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. Also described in these chapters is concerning the marriage of captive women and wives of deceased brethren, as far as the levirate marriage was concerned, are described in these chapters. Also described here, Moses is going to give a ruling concerning divorcing of wives and the trial of virginity, whether or not a maid was a virgin when she became married, as well as how to treat servants that had run away. All of these things are brought out in these chapters of Deuteronomy 22 through 26, and yet we have very little, if any, mention of them in Exodus, Leviticus, or Numbers, and those references where they are mentioned, it's very abbreviated, and so it's expanded here in the book of Deuteronomy. And therefore, we indicate that it is not just a restating of the law. Sometimes people skip over the book of Deuteronomy completely because they say it's just the law given again. That's not the case. There is much new information and material in the book of Deuteronomy. And it is such, as it ends up, that the book of Deuteronomy ends up being, as it were, a handbook for the children of Israel on how to apply the law of Moses. And that will become significant as we go on. Concerning the keys to the book of Deuteronomy, the key words in the book of Deuteronomy would be remember, obey, and covenant. Concerning the key verses would be found in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, where here Moses records, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." And so it is such that Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13, would be the key to the book of Deuteronomy as far as the key verses. The key phrase is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Well, what does it mean to love the Lord thy God? That's what the remainder of the book of Deuteronomy is all about. And therefore, how important it is. Key chapters in the book of Deuteronomy would be chapters 27 through 29. And these are key because in chapter 27, there is a formal ratification concerning the law of Moses itself. But then it goes on and it pronounces the curse of disobedience that was placed upon Mount Ebal as far as those laws that were read there concerning disobedience, as well as the blessing of obedience that was read and proclaimed on Mount Gerizim. In chapters 28 and 29 of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is going to appeal to Israel to choose the way of obedience, to choose the way of blessing, to choose the way of life and of good. And yet he will also warn them that if they end up choosing disobedience, there will be fearful consequences as the result. And certainly those chapters are key because that's exactly what's going to happen. When the children of Israel are obedient to God and obedient to the law of God, God is going to bless them. They are going to be fruitful. They're going to multiply. They're going to be the greatest of all nations. But when they disobey him, they are going to be brought down. They're going to be brought down. They're going to be taken captive. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be punished. And many will die as a result of it. Deuteronomy chapters 27 through 29 end up being the key chapters to the book of Deuteronomy. Well, an outline of the book, very briefly, is such that it includes three basic discourses or sermons, if you will, lessons, if you will, that were delivered by Moses himself. And the first discourse, the first lesson, is Deuteronomy chapter 1 through chapter 4, verse 43. And here, Moses is going to begin, first of all, by a brief historical introduction to this episode as far as where they are now in their lives. But then he's going to also rehearse with them the previous 40 years. What is it that has brought us to this point in time? And as such, he is going to remind them. Remember, one of the key words to Deuteronomy is remember. Remind them why they are here now rather than 38 years ago. But also in this section of Scripture, in this discourse, Moses is going to tell them concerning the cities of refuge, and he is specifically going to name the three of the six cities that are going to be on the east side of the Jordan River. Those of the territories where the 2.5 tribes are going to inherit before the rest of the tribes enter into the promised land on the west side of the Jordan River. And he will specifically give us those three cities of refuge on the east side, though he will make no reference concerning the three on the west side at this particular time. His second discourse, Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 44 and going through chapter 26, verse 19, is that which contains the greatest majority of the book of Deuteronomy. And here he speaks concerning the fact that the law that was given at Sinai, it is to be remembered. And he does remind them concerning many of the points of the law of Moses in these particular passages. But it also includes, as we've stated, modifications and additions to the law of Moses that had not been given previously. And that the whole of this particular discourse is, as we could say, an evangelistic application, in that it is calling upon the children of Israel to abide by the law of God and to remember that by doing such, they will receive the blessings and those good things from God. And so it calls upon them to be obedient to the Heavenly Father and to be obedient to His law. His third discourse, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1 through chapter 30, verse 20. Moses and the elders command the children of Israel to erect this stone monument on Mount Ebal. And there it is stated that they are to write all the words of the law on this monument. The curses which were pronounced from Mount Ebal and the blessings from Mount Gerizim are given in this particular discourse. And realization that the covenant with God is now being made with the children of Israel. A restatement, if you will, of that covenant with the children of Israel. And all of this is accompanied by solemn injunctions and promises, a prophecy concerning disobedient Israel and the warnings of the fearful and horrible consequences of breaking the law of God that he had made with them. God had great respect for his covenant, and he did not take it lightly when the children of Israel went against his covenant, his law. Finally, in the conclusion of the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 31 through 34, we have Moses' last days recorded. And Moses knows that his death is imminent, and as a result of that, he is going to encourage the children of Israel to continue on and to be faithful. Remember, at this time, Moses is 120 years old. His life has been divided up into three 40-year periods. The first 40 years when he is in Egypt in Pharaoh's household. The second 40 years when he was exiled, as it were, though he exiled himself, in wandering in the wilderness, in being a shepherd. And then the third 40 years as he is the leader of the children of Israel through the wilderness wanderings. It is important when you recognize concerning what is recorded at the end of the book of Deuteronomy that even though Moses is 120 years of age, he is going to die before his ancestors do. He was not one, and it is recorded as such, he was not one who died from old age. That simply was not the case. He was still as fit as a fiddle, as far as what's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. But he died because God would not allow him to enter into the promised land, and God said, "Your time's come." And therefore, at 120, Aaron, who had died previously just about 7 months before this, 6 or 7 months before this, was 123 years of age when he died. And on the first month of this 40th year was when Miriam had passed away, and she was older than either of the two brothers. And so Moses does not die simply from old age. In fact, it's stated concerning Moses that he was, as we would say, he was still full of vim and vigor. And remember that God is going to allow Moses to climb to the top of Pisgah's lofty height in order to see the promised land. He was not going to be allowed to go into it, but he was allowed to view it, and he was able to view from the lower parts of Canaan all the way to the northern parts is what is indicated there. And yet he climbed that mountain by himself. He didn't have to be carried up there. He was certainly one who was still in good physical condition, and yet he is going to die. Joshua is going to be commissioned in this section of the book of Deuteronomy to be the next leader of the children of Israel, and he is going to be the one that will be the successor of Moses. The law is going to be delivered to the custody of the elders and the Levites, and it is also going to be such that the charge is going to be given to them that every 7 years all the law is to be read to the children of Israel. Now, we know every Sabbath day, as they came together in order to worship God, there were various parts of the law that were read, but it was never read in its entirety. Every 7 years it would be read in its entirety, according to the commandment which Moses gives to the children of Israel. Finally, in the book of Deuteronomy, we have the song of Moses as it is recorded, his closing words of blessing and encouragement to the children of Israel, and then concerning the death of Moses. As in each of the other books that we have examined so far of the Pentateuch, we have noted there are many references or allusions to either Christ or the time of Christ in these particular books, and such is definitely the case here in the book of Deuteronomy as well. There is, for example, where Moses speaks concerning that prophet that would come, that would be like unto himself. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. And we know, of course, that that is Jesus, the Christ, and Jesus will even let it be known that he is the one, as well as Paul will speak concerning that very same thing in Romans chapter 10. There is also the reference that is made concerning the curse of crucifixion or being hung on a tree that certainly applies to the time of Jesus with the crucifixion that he is going to receive, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. There is that reference concerning the bread that was given to them by God that Jesus refers to as their spiritual bread, which referred to Christ, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 3.